Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode.
Hey team, Mandy here, clinical nutritionist at The Body Reset. Hey, today we're going to talk about some really interesting take, I guess, on gut health. I did a big training with in our Body Reset program, when was it? Earlier in the week, actually. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to take some of the nuggets and share with you guys as well, because some of these, a little bit of understanding here means you can take some of these tools to implement them in your own life and really start to see some changes with your gut health quite quickly. So I want to make sure that you guys have access to these as well. So we're going to go through probably three of the common themes that I see when it comes to clients that are struggling with their digestive health in some way. So this might be things like recurring reflux or indigestion. It might be things like bloating or constipation or diarrhea, cramping, even potentially things like just loss of appetite and those sorts of things. And then even flowing into the more chronic conditions, maybe like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's and those sorts of things as well. Obviously, there's a much deeper layer there, but some of these factors are actually going to impact into those more chronic conditions as well. So it's really worth understanding these basics. So the first thing we're going to talk about here, and the one that I go to every time when I'm talking to clients about gut health, is understanding functionality. This is really, really important. So digestion happens in three ways. I think I've actually talked about this in a training before, and that is chemical digestion, mechanical digestion, and microbial digestion. And functionality is really how all of those things go together. And some of the key things that are forgotten when it comes to gut functionality is the chemical digestion part. Often if we're having digestive symptoms or upset, we go looking for a food that's the problem, or we go looking for something that maybe we're allergic to or reacting to, when actually maybe the problem is we don't have enough stomach acid, we don't have enough digestive enzymes, our muscles are not moving food through appropriately. So it really actually comes back to how is your gut actually functioning, and does it have the nutrients required to make enzymes and digestive juices and stuff required to actually digest your food well? So this is where we really look first. We look at the mechanical part of digestion and the mechanical processes, which is chewing your food really well. Often we're eating too fast, we're not chewing, we're eating on the go, so we're not getting that kind of saliva production and whatnot going on with our food. So our food's getting down into our stomach, and our stomach's having to do a whole lot of work. And our stomach doesn't have teeth. It's got a lot of acid for some people, but not, you know, anything to really break our food up. So we need to be chewing it really well. And then we get into that kind of more chemical piece of the digestive process. And this is really, really common. So most people really sit on the lower end of stomach acidity, where their stomach acid is a bit low rather than too high. So if you're getting reflux, if you're getting that kind of acid kind of feeling, more often than not, that's about too little rather than too much. And that's pretty common because we need quite a lot of nutrients to make enough stomach acid. So we're looking at how can we support the production and stimulation of stomach acid. And it's really important because stomach acid is the trigger for the rest of the enzymes further down in the digestive system. So then we start to look at, are you producing enough digestive enzymes? Are these being triggered and released appropriately? So rather than kind of going looking for allergies or food intolerances, we actually just first see, are you actually even able to break down the food you're consuming? Because if you're not, food gets well down into our digestive system, gets down into our large intestines, which is where all our gut bacteria is housed. And then we're starting to get, you know, those things like bloating and gas and stuff, because the food that has not been digested properly has got down there and is being fermented by our gut bacteria. So we really want to make sure that it's being broken down on the way down by supporting chemical digestion, by supporting mechanical digestion, and just really allowing that kind of to happen properly. Another key thing here that kind of ties into this functionality of the gut is around our diet or nutrition structure. Really often what ends up happening is our nutrition intake kind of leans very heavily towards carbohydrates rather than towards the proteins. And the thing here is, while that's not necessarily a problem for everyone, it may be a problem in that if your carbohydrate intake at any one time is more than you can digest in the upper part of your small intestines, then again, those carbs are going to get down into the lower part, and they are really good food for our gut bacteria, and they produce a lot of gas. If you've ever, you know, seen any vegetables or fruit or anything ferment on the bench, or if you've ever done any homebrewing or made any sauerkraut or anything like that, you'll know how quickly fermentation happens if you put a little bit of sugar and yeast together. And it's no different in our stomach. When we're putting in a whole lot of carbohydrates that are not being digested and absorbed up in the top part of our small intestines where they should be, then they can get down and produce problems further down. So rather than being like, oh, well, I've got, you know, gut imbalance or anything like that, if we just change the macronutrient structure of our meals to reduce that carbohydrate load down and really favor fibers and proteins and stuff, we can actually reduce a whole lot of those symptoms. And we do this with our clients in the program, just with the way we structure meals and everything. And honestly, I see people just, you know, bloating and stuff like that disappearing really quickly for a lot of people just by some of these small tweaks. So the first part, it's about functionality. We have to look there first, because even if you are intolerant to a food or having an allergic reaction to a food or have a gut, you know, infection or something like that, then functionality has to be working well for us to even be able to correct that. So functionality is absolutely the starting point for looking after gut health, prerequisite for gut health. The next part is, it is about diversity. And, you know, in this gut health space at the moment, there's a lot of talk about, you know, good gut bugs and all that sort of stuff, which is great. I've done a fair bit of microbiome mapping and stool testing with clients in the past. And the common theme, which is starting to show through now, we're getting better ways of stool testing and microbiome mapping and stuff, is not always that there's parasites, not always that there's overgrowth, but most often it's that there is low levels and low diversity of the good guys. So very often, if we've got gut issues and you do a gut protocol, very often they're focused on killing and using herbal antimicrobials or those sorts of things to kill off the bad guys. But, you know, if there's actually low levels of good gut bacteria down there, we may actually be exacerbating the problem and extending the time for recovery, because all of that good stuff has to come back as well. So instead of going straight in with antimicrobials and those sorts of things, we actually look at how can we naturally, with our nutrition structure and whatnot, reduce the food we're giving for the bad guys and really prioritize things that are going to favor the growth and diversity of our good gut bacteria. And this really comes down to food quality. And again, somewhat carbohydrate related, because on a very, very basic level, refined carbohydrates and sugar are food for the guys we don't want too many of. And fibers and vegetables really help to feed and diversify our good gut bacteria. So again, we're wanting that nice flow of digestive juices through, because that helps us to manage a population down there. And then we want to be getting in a diversity of fruits and vegetables to get a diversity of fibers, which creates a diverse gut bacteria. And why this matters is that low levels of good bacteria, regardless of what they are, is associated across the board with chronic health conditions. So if we look at the gut of people that have, you know, all sorts of different chronic health conditions, we see low good bacterial diversity. Whereas if we look at a really healthy individual, we see a bigger diversity. So it's really important that we kind of support the good stuff rather than just constantly focus on trying to kill off bad stuff, which may or may not even be there, or may only be there as a result of it filling the space where the good guys aren't. If you've ever weeded a garden surface, just taking out everything, what grows back? It's always the weeds that grow back. So we want to make sure that we're filling that garden up, letting all the good stuff take up that space and crowd out anything that shouldn't be there. The third part here, and this is probably the second biggest driver, I would say, of gut symptoms, is actually nothing to do with the gut, though it's strongly interconnected, and that's actually our stress or our nervous system regulation. Now, you know, we know without a doubt that our brain talks to our gut. We know that when, you know, you've got to go and do something that you're a bit anxious about and you feel that feeling in your stomach, that feeling of butterflies. But the gut communicates back the other way through various processes, partly through our bacteria, but partly through our enteric nervous system, which is all the nerves that line the inside surface of our gastrointestinal tract. So these messages are going backwards and forwards all the time. And that is why, you know, imbalances in gut bacteria and gut-related distress are very commonly tied into increased anxiety and depression and mood disorders. And so it's really, really important when we're looking at maybe we've eaten something and we've had a bit of a reaction to it, and we're kind of looking, you know, did I react to the food? Maybe we went into that meal in a slightly more stressed state. We were in a flight fight response. And so what happens there is all of our digestive functions are turned down because our body is focused on survival. It's not focused on digesting at that time. It's focused on prioritizing our survival. And that means that digestion doesn't happen as well. Digestive enzymes are turned down, stomach acid production is turned down, smooth muscle contraction to move through food through our digestive tract is slowed down. So this can mean we might get, you know, a food that we could any other day we might have eaten and felt fine with. And today we eat it and we don't feel so good. So it's really important. And actually, this is something that I do with a lot of clients is if we're getting really random kind of bouts of bloating or digestive discomfort that really can't be pinned down to a food, and maybe we're doing all the things to support functionality and all that sort of stuff, we start doing a bit of a food diary with a focus on putting the foods in, but also paying attention to what state were we in when we came to that meal. Did we rush in, sit down, eat it in a hurry on a way to a stressful meeting? Were we in a family situation where there was some tension and anxiety? What was going on emotionally in and around the time of that meal that could have impacted how our digestive system responded to that food? So it's really important to pay attention to your state with food. And this is why the simple little habits of sitting down and taking a few breaths before we eat, you know, being thankful for our food and getting ourselves, allowing our nervous system that chance to kind of settle back into parasympathetic nervous response. Really great tip here is to take some long, slow breaths in through your nose and then back out through your mouth before you eat, because that really helps to, part of the connection between our brain and our gut is through our vagus nerve. And one of the ways that we can really kind of activate our vagus nerve is through nose breathing in through our mouth, down into our chest, and then back out again. So those long, slow breaths, really, really helpful. Calm everything down and allow us to digest properly. So those are the three things. I know they're a little bit different. You know, we're not talking food allergies. We're not talking probiotics. We're not talking all of those sorts of things. We're actually just going to the really basic layers that get missed. So often I see with gut, people with gut symptoms is we end up looking so kind of micro at tiny little things, looking for problems, that we miss just actually how does the gut function? How do I support that first? And when I'm doing all of those things and when I've got that going really well, are there still symptoms and signs? Because absolutely for some people there will be. There will be some deeper layers that need to be addressed for some people. But for the vast majority of people I've seen, those symptoms just disappear if we look after the functionality of our digestive processes. So a couple of the ways we do this with clients is we really look at meal structure. We remove a couple of the common triggers for imbalances in the macronutrient structure in pro-inflammatory foods. So we're looking at sugar, gluten and dairy, not because they're problematic foods per se, but they can be. And they also really just shift the balance of our meals towards a higher refined carbohydrate, higher kind of carbohydrate volume in general. So if you would like to give this a go, we are actually able to give away for you our meal plan that comes with recipes that we use with our clients initially, just to build this foundation. Call it our gut reset menu. It's got a bunch of recipes in there. It's structured in a really unique and important way to prioritize protein with all the meals, lots of plant fiber and diversity, and keeping carbohydrates to a moderate amount initially to help improve digestive processes. It's structured over four meals, so we're not having lots of snacking, which can also deplete our digestive enzymes and whatnot, and allows you to feel satisfied with a meal, digest it well, and then go to the next meal. So if you would like this, just comment gut reset below and we can get that sent out for you to have a play around with and just see. And then of course, on top of that, we would look at some more specific things, potentially like some digestive enzyme support and nutrients and whatnot that are often low that can impact gut health. But yeah, there's lots of avenues to go to, but with gut health, always start with the basics, because even if there is something more complex, the basics have to be sorted first before we can dive into them. So hopefully that's helpful. Hopefully that opens a few little windows and connects a few little dots for you when it comes to your own gut health. And I will let you get on with your day. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.